I want to talk about that, holding on to the promise. One of the promises that God makes that we see throughout Scripture, you'll see later in Scripture, is that he'll always be with you no matter where you go. He is a promise keeper, that he will always be with you wherever you go. And Joseph's going to be holding on to that promise, and we'll see that, because he's going to be going to situations where he doesn't want to go, but God's going to be with him. And just these first couple of verses, just to make a couple observations, we see that Joseph, he's sold as a slave, but because the Lord was with him, he began to have favor in anything and everything he did. It's quite astonishing, right, to see that Joseph, this isn't his homeland, right? This isn't his culture. This isn't where he's grown up. This isn't even the situation he was used to. He used to being a son, having freedom. Now he's a slave. He's in a different country with people that worship different gods. And Joseph could have been in a place, right, to be like, you know what? I'm just kind of going to do my own thing. Maybe I'll just fit in, right? Maybe the God of like my dad's and my brothers and kind of look how they treated me. They ridiculed me. They rebuked me. Maybe I'll just let that go. But it's so important to notice as we're in this series to look at how Joseph continually seeks God first. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Not only was it like a privatized thing of him and God, but he let that show in some form, because it even says that his new, I guess, slave master, boss, Potiphar, could see that the Lord was with him. Do you guys see that? The Lord is with Joseph, and so he just keeps getting favor. So even those who aren't from his upbringing or anything that he could relate with are noticing, wow, the God that Joseph serves, man, it's bringing him favor upon everything he's doing. And Joseph just kept keeping God first, even in a situation and circumstances where it could have been very easy to just decide, you know, God, I'm so upset with my brothers. I'm so upset with my situation. I'm so upset with whatever. God, I'm even upset. I had that really nice robe from my dad. That's all ripped up now. My brother sold me in. Like, there's so many things that Joseph could have been doing. And from as we read in Scripture, we don't see him resorting to that. We actually see him being sold right into slavery, having God be close with him, recognizing that. And even those who maybe are not God-fearers are recognizing that the Lord is with Joseph. We see that over and over and over again. The favor was interesting. You have to be careful with this passage, because I've seen this passage used different ways. Sometimes it can be used as a motivation in a wrong way of try to seek after God so you can get favor and promotion in your life. And I heard these kind of messages before. If you just seek after God, then he'll just give you everything you want, right? Kind of like God's a big vending machine in the sky. And if you could just go there and you can press, you know, promotion at work, PhD in 1 year, that'd be a miracle, right? that spouse, that friend, the health breakthrough, the financial, whatever. Joseph was seeking hard after God. I want to make that really, really clear. And then the Lord brought the favor. Are you with me? The Lord brought the favor. If we get looking at this passage and think, oh, we just want to seek after God for the favor, then we're missing it. Right? It's close, though. It's close. And then you can get a whole different kind of message of, God, I just want to seek hard after you. So that way I'm just really getting that 4.0, that GPA when I'm in college. Lord, I really want that promotion. Joseph is getting promoted here. The interesting thing, Joseph was so focused on God that he was getting promoted. So it's like, not that, but that wasn't his number one priority. His priority is like, I want to keep God first and honor him in any circumstance and situation, even when it's radically different. For those that in college or in the workplace, you might be able to relate not to the specific circumstances of this, but to the idea of having a lot of other people that maybe don't honor God, follow Jesus, or care about him, but you do. How are you going to act in such a way that reflects God? It's very neat to see how Joseph, even though his master had bought him and now he's a slave, he didn't go into some kind of lazy, I'm just going to do nothing because here I am as a slave. He's given his best. He's serving God even above Potiphar, and the Lord just blesses him. There's a lot we can glean as we look at Joseph in this passage, but just know that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar noticed it, and he began to have favor. Now, the story ended here. It would look like difficult family life. We would all probably say Joseph's family was dysfunctional, right? Right? And if we have to be honest, I'm sure all our families are a little dysfunctional. Hopefully not to this level, but to see that, okay, we have that. This isn't going well. He's a slave, but hey, at least he's getting promoted in the place that he's being a slave right now. But the story, it doesn't end there. It has kind of like a down, then up, and then it's going to go down a bit more. before going up. So let's continue in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 to 18. So Joseph, he's holding on to the promise. He's being sold as a slave. Now the next thing that's coming up, it's tricky. Joseph handles it well, but reflecting on this, it's like, how well would we handle this situation? So let's look at it. Genesis 39, verse 7 says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife," this is Potiphar's wife, "cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me,'" or essentially you could say, "sleep with me, have sex with me," however you want to word that. "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge, he is not greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her." This is a really difficult situation. Like, just imagine putting yourself in a situation where you're a slave somewhere and your boss has literally put you in charge of everything pretty much. His wife is like, "Wow, you're really, really good looking. I want to sleep with you." Essentially, you're a slave. My husband's your boss, and we don't have to let him know. But we'll talk about tricky dynamics, right? You look at the, this is really tricky if you think about how are you going to handle this? Like, Joseph, you're a slave. You can just get killed, like, if someone wants to kill you, you know? And here you are being asked to do something. Now, it's very interesting to see what Joseph doesn't say. We don't see him entertaining this proposal or advancement by Potiphar's wife, saying, "You know, maybe it could work out. Maybe, you know, if we kept this secret, maybe this kind of like, you know, we could sleep together, but just let's not let Potiphar know. Let's try to make sure that we keep it hush among the other slaves and the servant." He's really, really quick, even though he's in circumstances that are very difficult, to focus right back on God. He actually calls it out, which is really bold. I mean, he has like no power, no authority. He's a slave. He can get killed. But yeah, this is what he says to Potiphar's wife in verse 9, kind of part two of it. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against," who does he say? God. Yeah. His perspective on God is just remarkable and amazing, that he was still locking on God, even in circumstances that are so difficult. "I'm in a different land. Nobody's going to know. Is it really a big deal? She wants to have sex. I'm a slave. Might as well just go with it." No, he doesn't do that at all. So he calls it wickedness, and he's like, "How could I sin against God?" He doesn't water it down, being like, "This could be bad for your relationship with Potiphar. This could be bad for my, you know, employment status as a slave, as, you know, looking over." He realizes that ultimately, everything he does is either a way of honoring God or not. It's a way of glorifying God or not. And he has this kind of laser-like focus. I think we could say that Joseph was a man who walked with integrity before God, right? He was not letting situations change how he would interact. And it can be very tempting to do this. Very tempting, especially when it comes to, we're just going to hit on it because this is where the context is, especially if you're dealing with sexual sins and things that can drag us in. If nobody really knows, is it really a big issue, right? If I'm by myself and this person, we're having a great time, is it really an issue? If I'm hanging out on my computer late at night and watching things and viewing things and nobody really knows, I'm not hurting anyone, is it really an issue? The culture parades it, movies glorify it, people encourage it. It's not really a big deal. It's just a sexual, maybe sin, if you want to use that word. Well, if you go according to God's word, it is a big deal, right? Joseph didn't say that's an acceptable practice, but it might, you know, hurt God's name. He called it straight up wickedness, and that is directly a sin against God. He had that kind of perspective that, no, I'm serving God. I'm not going to live and give my night to a video screen that's going to dishonor God, because, Lord, I know that's wickedness. I need to get help, but God, I want to glorify you. Or I'm not going to just go and say yes to someone who wants to get together for like a one-night stand just because that seems like a good idea. No, I'm living for God. Oftentimes when I interact with those who are wanting to get out of sexual sins, I used to focus on a lot of, maybe you shouldn't be doing that, I'll use some wisdom. But now I focus a lot on, do you love Jesus? Do you love God? Do you love him with all your heart? Are you more excited for God than any other thing in the world? Because when opportunities will come, and they will come, whether it's in a video screen, a commercial, a person directly inviting, I'm so in love with God. I'm so sorry. No, thank you. Right? Are you with me? I remember I was working as a, I think I was like a 19-year-old at a factory. And I went there first to make money. I'll admit my motives were really, really just me making money. But the Lord used an engineer, thank God for engineers that love Jesus, to say, Jim, you're here for the wrong reason. God has you here for a purpose. So I spent a lot of time with God. I just was like, just loving Jesus. I don't glow and radiate. I had such joy. I didn't care about anything else but just knowing God and loving people and praying for my coworkers to come to know Jesus. I got promoted like crazy. But as I was getting promoted like crazy, one of my coworkers, she was really, really nice, gave me a very similar invitation to what Potiphar's wife was like, hey, would you want to come over and sleep with me just for a night? Would you want to come with me? It really threw me off guard, but it was a very easy, I said no thank you, but it was a very easy no thank you, being very polite about it, because I'm like, I'm here for God. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm here. I want to be part about his mission. Little did I know there was people that the Lord wanted me to bring to the Lord that I'm like, man, this would have sidetracked and waylaid God being glorified in this factory if I had given in to this specific sin. Are you with me this morning? And we get those invitations. I know college students, you'll get that. Those on sports teams, you'll get that. Hey, just come with it. It's not a big deal. No one, it's okay. The culture's okay with it. Why can't we be okay with it? It's because God's got a different agenda for us, right? God's got a different way. God set up sex to be a beautiful thing. He created, Hollywood didn't create it, between a man and a woman in the marriage context, and it's beautiful and wonderful. And that's where it's supposed to be celebrated, something God created. But oftentimes we can fall into those lies if we're not falling in love with Jesus with our whole heart. When we stop loving Jesus with our whole heart, it brings about a whole lot of opportunities, doesn't it, right? There's just a lot of opportunities because you're not following God full out. It's like, I don't know. God was my main course, but now I feel like I have a buffet of options because I'm not spending time, you know? It's like some, if you're in a dating relationship and you really don't like the person you're dating that much, you'll kind of start getting open. Maybe I can start dating other people. Our relationship with God shouldn't be like that, right? It's like, God, I want you full out. I just want to be with you. When temptation comes, and it will come, the word says God is faithful to provide a way out if we're looking for it. Amen? He's providing a way out, whatever it might be, a person, a computer, a phone, I don't know. Just God, there's got to be a way out. Lord, you promised it. Let me look for it. Joseph did. Now, the temptation kept coming and coming and coming because it says, it spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her. He held on to the promise of God and his presence more than just the promise of an invitation for a night. And he just stayed there. But eventually, this temptation kept going. There's sometimes you just need to start running. And that's what we're going to see, verse 11. It says, but one day, this is Joseph, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house. It's kind of like a whole scene set up here. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. Once again, the same thing, day after day after day. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He's come into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. Essentially saying, like, hey, Joseph, rape. Joseph just tried to do this. And as soon as he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and fled and got out of that house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. That's her husband, Potiphar. And she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. Or another one's to make sport of me, to sleep with me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. Man, talk about not fair right now, right? If you're Joseph, you're thinking, if you haven't read this story before, if you're thinking like, man, he's standing up with integrity. He's being a man of integrity. He's following after God. He's calling wickedness wickedness, and he does not want to sin against God. You would think maybe that he got even more promoted, right? He got more promoted, got more favor. Everything's going really, really good. No, he gets accused of raping his, like, essentially slave master's wife, Potiphar's wife. And he's in a place now where he's on the run. He's literally running. But he would not compromise his walk with God, his integrity, just to be able to keep his position. And you see that he's running. And sometimes that's the way it goes, right? You stand up for God. You stand up for Jesus. You have integrity. Men and women have integrity. I'm going to live for God in whatever place, the marketplace, school, home, wherever. And sometimes we're not reaping rewards immediately that we're seeing, right? It's like, because I stood up for God and his word, I now don't have a job, right? Because I stood up, my spouse isn't as excited as they were as I'm all gung-ho for God, right? Sometimes your friends are like, wow, you're really like a Jesus follower? Like, I thought I just kept that on the DL and did it on Sundays. Like, no, actually, I haven't really been honest with you. I really am a Jesus follower, and it's a full-out, sold-out kind of lifestyle choice. Oh, well, we're just going to not invite you to any more of our friend groups, so it's going to be a lonely road. Sometimes families will pull back, right? In this case, he gets accused of raping his master's wife. Talk about going on the downhill. Sold by his brothers, now as a slave. Promoted a little bit like a roller coaster, a little bit maybe a higher point. It doesn't really tell us emotionally how he's feeling, but maybe a higher point. Now being accused of rape on the way down. So let's see what happens as we look in verse 19, 23. As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. I love verse 21. Come on. But the Lord was with Joseph. Remember how the Lord was with Joseph when he got sold as a slave? Remember that? That was actually the thing. The Lord was with Joseph. Even Potiphar saw the Lord was with Joseph. Unfortunately, Potiphar didn't want to reach a little bit deeper into seeing what happened in this story, but he threw him into jail. But God is a way maker. Isn't it amazing that men and women can make choices that seem like it's the end plan for somebody, but God's plan still is accomplished, right? It looks like it's the end for your situation, but God had a plan that was even bigger than just going to prison. This would actually be the place that he would be propelled, as we'll see in the upcoming weeks, to be in a place to honor God and save his family. So let's continue on this. So as Joseph looked in, so place for the prisoners. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him his steadfast love and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. It really seems like a rephrasal of like the opening verses, different context, same God, same Joseph who's following God. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all his prisoners who were in the prison. Are you guys visualizing this? Isn't this kind of crazy? Gets thrown into a slave, you're running the house. Gets thrown in prison, you're running like the whole prison essentially. And the keeper of prison put charge. Whatever was done there, he was the only one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord, what does it say? Was with him. The Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Wow. There's a lot going on, right? Having a man of integrity being accused of rape, thrown into jail. Here you would say, surely Joseph would start denying God and being upset and like forgetting God, right? It's just like you're going down and down as far as circumstances, but yet he still would follow God even in prison. The Lord was with him, Joseph was with God, and with that, there just became favor and opportunity to serve even in a prison. There's a lot we can glean from this, but one of the things is, let us not let circumstances be the reason for why we don't follow God, right? Let us not let circumstances be the reason for why we don't serve God. Let us not let circumstances be the reason for why we will not serve others when things are going difficult. Joseph was actually kept being an administrator, a leader. He kept caring for whoever he was, whether it's other slaves, he would care for them. Whether it's other prison inmates, he would care for them. In this time, you were guilty until proven innocent. So it was like you could be there for a very, very long time. And as you might remember, his brothers aren't in Egypt, right? There's not going to be like a free, maybe it's not a text message or a phone call, maybe like a dove call or a bird, you know, send a bird to someone, one phone call to see if they'll help. There's no one, a tweet, there we go. Tweet, tweet. That's funny. That's nice. Should get you to help me write my sermons. Little tweet. Joseph didn't have any person who he could rely on to prove him innocent. But he did have God. And that was more than enough. Do you love God with all your heart? With everything? That if circumstances were to change, your love for God would not falter because you're so loved in God. Sometimes when I'm interacting with different folks, I'll ask a question. Especially if they're on the cusp of like, do I really want to follow Jesus or not? And thinking that through. Maybe some of you are doing that too. I'll ask a question. It's like, do you really love God? And most people are like, yeah, maybe, I don't know, sure. If they're on like the edge, like they're not following Jesus yet, or maybe they're on the edge. And I said, if your circumstances completely changed, you had a lot of money, you have no money. You have health, you have no health. your girlfriend, your boyfriend leaves, the education, the job doesn't come through, do you still love Jesus? Right? And it's a good way to get to a heart question. Am I in love with God as the promise keeper, or am I loving God with what he will provide me? And if we're basing our relationship with God on things that he gives, we will give up on that relationship when those things are lost. Right? We will give up on that relationship when those things are lost. Joseph is a great example of one that he obviously loved God. In all of Genesis, it says that he was the only one that had this phrase that the Spirit of God was upon Joseph in such a way that was very unique in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's select individuals where the Holy Spirit would come and anoint them and be upon them, and Joseph was one of those. The Lord was with him. It's pretty exciting to see that since Jesus came and when he went back to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. If you know Christ, that same Holy Spirit is inside of you, the same one that was on Joseph in the book of Genesis. Isn't that pretty awesome? So maybe you're thinking, well, my circumstances aren't Joseph's, but they're pretty difficult. They're a dead-end, difficult, dark situation. I want to encourage you, if you have Christ in you, you have the same Spirit. The same Spirit that was upon Joseph, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power lives and dwells inside of you. Even when you feel utterly and completely alone, the Lord is with you. Right? Even when the provision won't come through in the right timetable, the Lord is with you. Even when cancer hits for once or the second time, the Lord is with you. Even when family dynamics aren't restored to the level that you think they should be at, the Lord is with you. Even when you're praying for those, maybe children or others that do not yet know Christ, just know that the Lord is with you. When God's with you, who can be against you, right? If God is for you, who can stop you? And this is the amazing thing about God. Joseph's a really great example. I'm like, this guy seems like a superhero in my mind. I'm like, he's just making all the right choices. I think God just graced him in a special way for this. But even when we falter, even when we're faithless, do you know what? Do you know what? God is still faithful to you, right? Because sometimes you can look at the story. It's like, I don't have a life like Joseph. I made the decision when someone's like, hey, you want to spend a night with me? And I said, yes. Joseph said, no. He said it was wicked and it was a sin against God. I blew it. Guess what? We've all blown it in some way, right? You know, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us, to make us new. So if you read this story and you're like, I've messed up, just know I've messed up too. God, I need you afresh. Lord, when I'm faithless, you are faithful. God, would you forgive me? Lord, would you make me new? God, would I hold on to you, my promise keeper, the miracle worker, the way maker, more than anything else in this whole world? And Lord, if you need to rattle my life a little bit so those other things are really less, that's okay. I just want to get closer to knowing you, God. I want to get closer to holding on. It's really difficult to hold on to Jesus when we're holding on to something else. And as we're looking at this Waymaker series, we're really looking at placing matters, whatever circumstances they are, into God's hands, placing them at his feet. The nice thing is when you do that, whatever circumstance or difficult situation, when you give that to God, then you got both hands free just to hold on to Jesus, right? You know what the neat thing is? He was already holding on to you first. It's not like, Jesus isn't like saying, hey, you hold on to me and then I'll hold on to you. That's called religion. If you do the right thing, then I'll be there. God's holding on to you even when you fully let go. Even when we're holding on to a difficult situation, not holding on to Jesus, Jesus is holding on to you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. There's no asterisk and a bunch of little titles underneath that say certain situations, the Lord is not with you. That's a lie from the enemy. One of the greatest promises in the Bible is that the Lord will be with you. He gave that to Joshua when he's starting a new leadership with the Israelites. The Lord's going to be with you. Jesus, when he's talking to the men and women on the hills, disciples, he's saying, hey, this is the Great Commission, but by the way, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Even when life looks so dark like Joseph, and I'm sure being in the prison now, this is a low, low point in this story. You got to believe that, God, you're still working, right? We just sang it this morning. Even when I can't see it, you're working, right? I'm not seeing anything. Now I'm activating faith, okay? Even when I can't feel it, I'm not feeling anything. My prayer time has no feelings involved. My Bible time has no feelings involved. I'm so glad that God's not a feeling, right? Right? If it was, then we would feel the presence or not, and then we would say to God, you're not with me. Instead of using that narrative, why don't we use a new one saying, God, are you with me? And just listen to what he's going to say. His word will say yes every single time. The Lord is with you. Let's hold on to the promise. We see Joseph, once again, being sold as a slave to Potiphar, being tempted by Potiphar's wife, and being thrown in jail for having integrity. And chapter 38, which we skipped over, it's real messy. It's a great chapter to realize that God uses incredibly broken, dysfunctional people to display his glory. You can read it. It's really messy. One of Joseph's brothers, his name is Judah, he kind of gives his life pattern in chapter 38, his decisions, kids, family, all this kind of stuff. Judah was not a man of integrity like Joseph. Joseph focused on God. It's like really a contrast if you read both of the passages. Joseph focused on God, and when it came up to being tempted, he's like, no, this would be wicked. I don't want to sin against God. Judah, on the other hand, if you read in chapter 38, he's actively looking for a prostitute and sexual sins. His heart was not directly towards honoring God in that area. And when you see the contrast of it, you get to see that, hey, it is possible to live with integrity. Joseph was being someone who was deciding that even though his dad and his grandfather and great-grandfather, they were great people that God used, but they had some pretty messed up lives. They really did. I'm so glad that Joseph decided to stand up in his family lineage being like, I'm not going to keep going with the general sin patterns of sexual immorality just like my brothers or just like my dad or just like my grandfather, just like my grandfather. Somebody needs to step up and set a new tune, and Joseph was the man to step up. I believe today, New Hope Community Church, that there's men and women in here that maybe it's sexual sin patterns or other sin patterns, but the Lord's inviting you to step up in your family, that this isn't going on any longer. Sexual abuse and morality, yeah, it's common in my family, sure. Maybe my dad or my grandfather, it's not gonna be in mine. By the grace of the living God who has given you the Holy Spirit through you, that is with you in all moments, Jesus, I wanna make a stand for my family. Anybody with me this morning, right? Abuse, lying, deception, whatever, there's a bunch of sins. Just cause it's familiar in your family doesn't mean it's right. And sometimes we get so used to things being so normal, some certain sin or issue, it's not a big deal. My uncle does it, my aunt does it, my cousins do it. Does God do it? Nope. God, I'm going to call it wickedness. And God, I don't want to sin against you. Lord, I want to love you and I want to love people. I was recently at a conference this week and I was hearing a thing about holiness, that God is inviting us as a church to be holy like he is holy. And I love this phrase. It says, one of the speakers is saying that holiness is freedom. Holiness is freedom. Sometimes we think that doing what God wants is a killjoy. It's like, well, Joseph could have had a lot of fun if he had said yes to Potiphar's wife. Actually, no. He would have been a slave to sin in that moment. Instead, holiness is freedom. Joseph decided to be a slave to righteousness than a slave to sin. I want to encourage us, let us live for God in all areas of our life, in our hearts, with our families, with our friends. And if no one around you is following God, like Joseph's experience, you're in a different culture, a different situation, let you be the man or woman that decides, I'm still gonna follow God, regardless. He is the way maker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker. God, may you be glorified. May I hold on to you more than anything else. I wanna invite up the musicians at this time, as we'll be wrapping up with a song. We'll have some prayer time after the benediction, and we'll have a time for a meal, which I'm really excited about at the end of this service. But I want to have just a moment just to talk with the Lord. I could give a lot of application points from this, but I really feel like sometimes, I think Glenn did this last week, I really appreciate it. It's just nice to spend time with God. Lord, how do you want me to apply this message to my life? Lord, is there an area that maybe your word was pointing to that maybe I just need to be honest with you about, maybe confess to you, or maybe walk with you, trust in you in a certain area. Maybe he just wants to encourage you this morning. I don't know, but God knows exactly what he wants to do in your life. So we're just gonna take about a minute just to pause, and you can simply ask, Lord, God, what would you like to speak to me? Lord, what would you like to say to me this morning according to your word? We'll take a minute and then I'll pray. God, I just thank you that we can just pause and spend time just listening to you, Lord. God, thank you that you have steadfast love for us, just like for Joseph, God, you have for us today. And Lord, I just pray there's anything that we're holding on to that's not you, Lord, that we can let go of that and just hold on to you. God, forgive us when we put anything above you, Lord, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, something that glorifies you or sinful, Lord, just forgive us for when we place anything above just cherishing you, being with you and serving others and loving people like Jesus. Lord, I want to pray specifically for those who are, they're feeling like they're at the dead end. The options are no more humanly possible. Nightness is at the darkest level. Dawn doesn't seem like it'll ever come. Lord, I just want to ask for just miracles, your miracle, God, a breakthrough to be poured out upon us this morning. And I just want to take a moment. If you're in a place this morning, you don't have to give specifics. I just want to pray for you. You can just raise your hand. But if you're in a place that you really need a breakthrough of some kind, it doesn't seem like humanly possible it's going to happen. Can you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Just lift up your hand. I'm not going to ask you. Just lift up your hand real quick. Yeah, I just want to make sure. Just say, I need a breakthrough somewhere. Yeah, there's a lot of breakthroughs. These are situations where you can't do anything. Now we're in the faith mode, God. You can put your hands down. Lord, we're looking for you. I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters right now. God, I just pray for those who have lifted up their hands, God, I believe signifying in their heart. They're in a place where they can't break through. They're yielding to you. God, I pray for breakthroughs in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those who are stuck, that they'd be unstuck. God, those who are so burdened down and broken down, God, that they'd be lifted up, that your hope would just kind of be a wellspring for them, Lord. God, I pray for those who are looking for breakthroughs in their family. God, I pray for those who are looking for breakthroughs in salvation. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that we pray to a miracle worker. Lord, we're asking you to do things that we cannot do, but you can. Lord, I just pray that in all these areas, God, that we would still trust you, that we would still have faith in you. God, that we know that you are with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.